is a Bramble Jam podcast.
I'll tell you what, that Joe Rogan.
Hi, I'm Brent. And I love preview shows.
Hey, it's Panda. Now, let me tell you, Joe, it's the only place I've been getting
Who do you stand with? Who do you stand with?
Oh, Joe. You got to go, Joe.
Which Joe? Well, Joe Rogan or Joe Biden? Which one?
Pick one now.
And I like Hallmark preview shows.
I'm Dan, and I despise Hallmark preview shows, especially ones with, what, a movie? And this is the
Deck the Hallmark Podcast.
Man, did you guys hear the news?
What news?
Sandy Patty.
Sandy Patty?
Pulled her music off Spotify, too.
Unbelievable.
Did she really?
All the big hitters.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's taking her claim.
Well, if Sandy pulls it, then that's when you know.
As soon as Steve Green pulls the trigger.
Yeah.
That's when you know.
That's when you know. I don't really know how you pull stuff off Spotify.
I don't either. No idea. Our stuff, I don't know how you, I don't know.
I honestly don't even know if it is on Spotify.
I don't, me either.
Maybe it is.
I'll call Chief Spotty.
This is all that I'm going to say. This is all that I'm going to say about the Spotify situation.
Guarantees one, Chief Spotty.
One.
No, he is called Chief Spotty.
No.
One, Spotify podcasting is garbage. It's trash.
Really bad.
It's a trash interface and they should fix it. Two, Spotify is ruining podcasting as we know.
Wow.
With their exclusives. Podcasting should not be exclusive.
Unless, of course, they offered us an exclusive deal.
Well, of course. Yeah. Well, then but it's not even working.
There are other people doing exclusives, like Stitcher Premium. Like, the only place to find every episode back catalog.
The only people that I know that there are people out there like Wondery, for example. Does Wondery Plus. You get it a week early or 2 weeks early, but it goes out to the public to everybody just late. That's, I believe, how you should do the thing. It brings people, but it's podcasting is supposed to
still get
Mr. Worldwide.
Man. But you can still get JoJo on Apple.
No, you can't.
No, you cannot.
You cannot.
This is the whole. Did you think the controversy was just Spotify?
No, I thought it would get down later.
No, like the only place you listen, if you look up on your podcast player, I looked it up on my podcast player. There's one episode.
There is a trending podcast like in the top charts that's somebody talking about Joe Rogan.
Dude, why haven't we done that?
I don't know.
I did do that.
We got a clip.
We do.
Cue it.
So
welcome to Joe. Show, not the real one.
Welcome to Joe's show, not the real one. I'm Rick Dilby talking about Joe Rogan. So
whisper that.
Now, Joe Rogan is a friend of mine down at the Fitzies. Yeah. He's got a giant beard, a big one.
It's Joe.
Joe, how you doing?
Doing great.
I hear you in some hot water.
Who?
You.
No,
What have you been doing, Joe?
Okay, well.
This is investigative journalism. Now's not the time to hide.
Do you know tuna? Canned tuna?
I do.
So I was watching a YouTube video of Steve-O from the Jack Donkey Butt. He was talking about his favorite snacks. And Steve-O, believe it or not, every day eats a canned tuna with Italian dressing on top. And so I tried it, and I really liked it. And Fitzy said, if you're going to eat that canned tuna with Italian dressing like Steve-O from Jack Donkey Butt, you're going to get out of here. And I said, no, I'm going to eat my tuna with my Italian dressing.
Trace, cut that off. Just go ahead and cut that off. How did we get there?
What's sad is that's a long-form interview, too. It is.
There's three and a half hours of that. And they just sit in a room.
And they smoke ivermectin?
They smoke.
Is that what they do?
They smoke menthols. And it's just a lot of coughing.
Rick, have you ever smoked... anything harder?
No. Just give me the soft pack. I tried about every brand. Give me the soft pack, the Pall Mall.
Okay.
You know the cunt.
I do.
But the fourth hour of that interview, if I'm not mistaken, is just coughing.
Yeah.
Because there's no ventilation
no.
in there.
He does it in the bunker.
And there's why was that top of the charts? People just get fooled so they easily. Fooled. It's almost like Spotify should monitor what they're letting people say.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
There's also another Joe Rogan podcast where he talks about losing your hair. It's called Joe Rogaine.
I got a clap.
Yeah.
Joe Rogaine. Not that one.
You're bald, Joe.
That's it. That's all we got.
All that to say, Bramble Jam Plus. If you are looking That's for right. some exclusive podcasts, right. Bramble, look no further than Bramble
With
Jam
integrity.
Plus.
Integrity.
That's exactly right.
This the only way that I can explain what just happened is the fact that we're doing a preview episode.
Yep.
We're releasing it in the prime spot. Tuesday yes, is our right. wheelhouse spot. We're releasing it there, and it's for Loveuary, which, and I, if I'm not mistaken, you came down with the case of Loveuary last week.
Yeah, and it was
it hit you hard.
Hands trembied.
Hands trembied.
Are this still happening? Hands
trembied.
Full hands trembied.
Still happening. And heart palpy.
Heart palpy. Yeah, that's bad combo.
Yeah.
And it's got three movies, and it's coming in hot. Two of them are Wedding Veil, and we've set aside 40 minutes of our lives to cover it.
And so there's three of these. I'm going to get this straight. Three movies.
Two Wedding Veils.
And two.
One movie, two other Wedding Veils. No. It's as absurd as it sounds.
So that's not great.
Well, the other option was we re-review the Wedding Veil movie.
And no, I'm good.
I'm out. Can't do it.
You said it. I'm trying to pull up the thing on the.
We have to give creams? Two of these are Wedding Veil movies.
What do you mean, do we have to give creams? Of course we have to give creams.
I know. I said it. I knew the answer, but I said it
anyway.
You
know better than
that. Did you know the answer?
I did.
It didn't sound like you did, because you'd said it anyways, dumb.
I'm with Brian on this one.
All right. We will do, we got to go out of fives. Out of five candy hearts.
Yeah, sure.
And then I don't know. Do we want to say cream or do we want to do something in the
rose? Give her a rose petal.
Let's just
cream. Let's stick toward the sweet spot. It's a sweet cream. All right, guys, are you ready?
Let's do it.
For this,
let's do it.
For those of you that have never joined us for a preview episode before, very thrilling. I will read the synopsis of a movie that's coming out in a couple weeks, and then we'll decide whether or not it's good.
Spoiler alert, it won't be.
Wedding Veil. Return to the Sea of the Veil. Unveiled. Wedding Veil Unveiled. Mm-hmm. Wedding Veil Unveiled. Is premiering on February 12th as a part of this. Is
do
the
we just end. Get one cream? Three movies, just get one cream.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a part of the.
I mean, if you make me use a second cream, it's just, I mean, like, that's not even real at that point.
But let's be honest, we're not using any of the cream for the Wedding Veil movies.
So we're all creaming on the same movie?
Yeah. I guarantee this.
Which is Mamma Mia or something like
Triple
that.
Cream
Mama's
Bros
Kitchen,
Mama Mia?
I believe, is the name of the movie. Mama's Wait, Kitchen.
I might cream one of the veils.
This is a part of the inaugural Loveuary program.
Can you say
event.
That word again, please?
Inaugural.
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 Not inaugural.
I'll take inaugural, if you will. Keep them coming, too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
A few months after Avery's, that's Lacey Chabert's character, wedding, Chicago-based professor Emma, played by Autumn Reeser, travels to Italy to teach the history of American art.
That's a bore.
While there, she uses her free time to research the provenance of the veil. Which leads to the colorful island town of Burano, famed for its exquisite handcrafted lace. On her way to the island, she encounters a handsome man. Played by Paolo.
It's got to be Paolo, right?
Paolo.
Yeah, it's Paolo.
Paolo. you should just resign.
Bernardini, who offers to help, but Emma, still processing the end of a long-distance relationship, declines. Her search leads to the oldest shop on the island, where the owner responds exuberantly to the veil. Emma doesn't understand Italian. But thankfully, the man she met earlier shows up.
Are you reading the script of this movie? Why, how is this still happening right now?
To translate, she learns his name is Paolo.
Paola, you mean? I'm just kidding.
Wait, that's his name in the movie, too?
Wait.
Is the actor's
What if
name
he doesn't know
Paolo?
He's in a movie? What if they've kidnapped this guy and they're like, man. Paolo, you're Paolo.
Yeah, I am. You sure?
Why do you wear that weird hat, Autumn? Stop it. Why am I here?
Did you get to the bottom of this?
Bottom of Paolo?
Yeah.
Well, it says Paolo Bernardini stars, and then it says Paolo. So Paolo plays Paolo, I believe.
Paolo does play Paolo according to
IMDb.
Wow. He plays... This guy must be a standout actor. Hey, I'm getting lost in this...
Play yourself!
This character, name's Bernie, and my name's Paolo. I'm very confused. Don't worry, buddy. Paolo. We'll switch it to Paolo.
Paolo.
Somebody, they keep calling me Bernie. They keep saying, Bernie, come here. And I keep...
My name's Paolo, not Bernie.
My last name's Bernie, Bernardini. So she learns that Paolo and his grandmother is the shop owner. He explains that the veil shares a special connection to his family, who had thought it was destroyed. Paolo and Emma decide to work together to unravel the century-old mystery of how the long-lost veil made its way from Italy to a shop in San Francisco. As they spend time together and Paolo helps Emma to let go and embrace the beauty of Italy, they begin falling for each other. As Emma prepares to return to Chicago, she isn't sure she can handle another long-distance relationship, but the veil and its legend may have other plans.
You know what's sad to me about this? It's that Paolo still thinks that it's a real wedding veil.
Paolo plays Paolo. Yeah, yeah. Paolo plays Paolo.
You know what's sad to me about this is they've taken what appears to be one movie about a veil that maybe would be an hour and 50 minutes long, and they've stretched it into three full-length feature films. That's what's happened here.
Yes, that is what happened.
It's very disappointing.
Well, we can agree to disagree on that. All right. Panda, what do you think, buddy?
No.
You got to give a rating out of five.
One. What's less than one?
Zero.
Zero. Zero candies. Yes. That sounds awful. That sounds so bad.
Yeah.
I can't.
Get him, Pandy.
I love Autumn Reeser, and I can't even give that. That sounds so boring. Mm-hmm. They go to a city that is known for lace veils.
Tell them what time
that's
it is.
That's an hour and a half of my life that I've got to spend watching that. The first movie sounds just downright riveting compared to this nonsense.
Let's go.
I hope there's good scenery because that's the only thing that's up to bat for this bad boy. Like, that's it. This movie sounds awful.
Okay.
Damn. Five and a cream. No, it's what Panda said. It's everything that Panda just said. That's it. He nailed it. Yes. Zero, zero, zero. How is this real life? Don't make me do stuff.
Yeah.
Even you know that sounds bad.
So the movie doesn't. Here's the thing. What if I read the shorter one and you tell me if it sounds any better?
No, I don't want to hear any.
Emma travels to Italy to teach
Paolo, Paolo in the Veil. I did see Italy, Paolo, Paolo in the Veil live, and they were splendid.
This is the shorter summary, which tells you nothing. Emma travels to Italy to teach and research a wedding veil said to bring its owner love. While there, she meets Paolo, the son of a local lace making family.
It sounds better than the long version.
No, you know what made it kind of took it around for me just a smidge? I'm only going to give it like one candy heart. But the fact that she just got out of a long distance and now at the end she's going to have to deal with that gets it a candy heart for me.
All right, buddy.
That's all I'm saying. Mm. I don't have a long one for the Wedding Veil Legacy.
That sound in the background is listeners just turning off this podcast.
Oh, they won't. They won't. They can't. Just turn it down.
Yeah, you keep it streaming. We get paid, guys. Please. Helps us.
All right. The Wedding Veil Legacy. I don't have a long synopsis. So this is going to be a short boy, guys. Okay. But I do got a long one for Welcome to Mommies. Mamas.
Welcome to Mommies.
It's a very different movie.
Different movie.
All right. It's going to air on February 19th.
I take it by your lack of a response that neither of you have seen Italy Paolo Paolo in the Veil. And that makes my heart a little hurt because it's one of a kind.
Okay.
I've heard that they're...
Like imagine rock opera and right. Cirque du Soleil together.
I didn't have the money for the ticket, to be fair.
Okay. It was very expensive. Thank you. Next time, let me know. I know one of the guys.
Do you really?
Yeah, second Paolo.
No.
I do.
What's he play?
The bass, the upright one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, clap!
Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom,
boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom,
boom, Victor Webster.
Victor?
Victor.
The Vicmeister.
Vicmeister.
Do the Victor stuff.
All right, you
get
cake.
In the veil.
All right, you cake eater.
Victor.
The Wedding Veil Legacy, Saturday, February 19th, is with Allison Sweeney, Victor Webster, and the others. Tracy.
Yeah?
Played by Allison Sweeney, is the last of three friends to take possession of an antique wedding veil they purchased together. Will it prove to be magical for her despite her cynicism about its legend, or will she marry the wrong guy? And that's all that we have so far.
I tuned out because I thought it was going to be a long boy. Can you read it again? I'm serious. I didn't hear a word of it.
Oh, sure. So it's her turn to get the veil.
Mm-hmm.
Will it prove to be magical for her despite her cynicism about the legend, or will she marry the wrong guy?
So... All right, that's a terrible synopsis, and I think we all know that. Okay.
But will it?
I've got a theory here. It doesn't work out for Autumn Reeser.
With Paolo?
With Paolo.
Paolo,
with
Paolo.
The veil.
That way it's...
And that way she has cynicism, and they don't want to give anything away.
That could change my no heart to a one heart.
From none to one.
None to one.
I still am a solid no heart boy for that movie. This movie... Also no hearts for me because it will be the third time I've watched a terrible movie about a wedding veil. There's no way it can be saved, even with, for my money, the two best leads of the three movies. I'm sorry, McGarry's and Chaberry's or whatever we're calling them.
They have names.
Victor Webster, Allison Sweeney is the best combo here. The McGarry's are a real thing. I don't think the Chaberry's are, but they should be, really, right? Chaberry's, yeah. That's a great name for a fan group.
Chaberry's. Yeah, I like that. Panda, where are you at?
Two.
Okay.
Two. It's about a wedding veil. There's only so much excitement I can have about
especially
a wedding veil.
Especially since it's the third one.
And it's the third one in a trilogy that no one asked or needed, but I'm here for it, I guess. Because I have to be.
I don't have a choice.
No, I think that
I would vote no.
This one's going to be the best one. I mean, it's Vicster. It's the Vicmeister.
It's the Vicster.
So I think that's going to really take it over the edge from a one to a two.
To a one and a half.
To a two.
To we a do two. Love Victor Webster around here.
Oh, yeah, I love Victor Webster. Guys, are you ready for the final movie of Love You Wary?
How long have we been doing this episode? 10 minutes?
We're 20 minutes in, baby.
Man, that Joe Rogan bit was worth its weight in gold.
We got another clip.
No, we do not. Just read it.
We got another clip. Burn. Joe. Not the real one.
Welcome to Joe Rogan's show, not the real one. I'm Rick Dilby.
And I'm Joe.
I've got my friend Joe Rogan.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
What's up?
I got a question for
you.
I have word. On good authority, that you're a McGriddle fan.
Yeah, why would I hide that?
Yeah, well, we have pictures of you ordering and eating McGriddles.
I would never hide this.
In 2012.
Very proud of
you. The year that the McGriddle was part of the Communist Party.
Are you sure?
Do you stand by your McGriddle consumption in 2012?
Can I ask?
Don't hide from me. These are hard-hitting questions.
Hey, Terry. Can you confirm that?
Yeah, it's true.
So it's true?
It's true.
Putin ate him a lot.
Putin ate him a lot. Joe Rogan.
It's a terrible bit.
Well, I don't know.
It's bad.
But it's funny, though, because...
Rig all of a sudden gets
Rig
really
interviews
serious.
A guy named Joe Rogan who's not the Joe Rogan.
The real Joe Rogan. And the first one was a long tuna sandwich. And the second one was like some weird Red Scare McGriddle combo that none of that lands. Like, who's here for Red Scare content?
People in the comments, give me a thumbs up if that's working for you.
I will say this. Daniel Pandolf would say whatever you needed him to say for a McGriddle sandwich and not have to wait for it.
Yeah.
He loves a McGriddle. Brandon Gray, also, I don't want McGriddles.
Can you talk about, I mean, just for a moment, I think we need to appreciate, they are two pancakes.
The sweetness of the pancake bun.
The syrup is built into the
right
bun.
In there, yeah.
It is, I have, despite what I may have said on the podcast and what many believe about me, have never done cocaine. But I do imagine that this is what it's like.
A McGriddle. Interesting.
The magic of the pancake buns. That was revolutionary.
I will say, the first time I had a McGriddle, I was so taken aback by it.
Yeah.
That I don't think I liked it initially. I took a bite and I said, wait a minute.
I'm getting a flavor here.
And then I took some time to process it. Now, when I have the opportunity for a McGriddle, I will jump all over it.
Alonzo says McGriddle equals trash.
Huh. Yeah, McGriddles are trash. Yeah, Alonzo's right.
Well,
that's a.
What I want is
ask
a syrup
me what I'm getting tomorrow. What'd you say?
What I want is a syrup flavored thing.
It's real syrup.
And it's baked syrup. It's baked in. What you're saying.
Baked in.
You mean to tell me they're back there with the pancakes pouring the syrup? Those aren't frozen.
First of all, no. How dare you? How dare you? First of all,
the syrup is not
question the
culinary expertise
of a McDonald's worker.
I worked at McDonald's in high school.
Exactly.
So you're sticking up for my character from 20
someone
years
has
ago.
To.
If you're not willing to stand
you get over there, you're over there. You become a platter boy. You've become a platter. You're nothing but a platter.
You are served your French fries on a platter of silver.
And then a lug.
Are you British?
Well, I just wanted to see
boy.
London. I like McGriddles, but no, I don't. I want them on a big platter with a suckling pig on top of a platter with an apple in its mouth, and it's crispy, tender flesh.
So you said that I want a McGriddle only served with a full suckling pig?
Yeah. Like a platter, boy.
Okay.
Welcome to Mamas is premiering on February 26th.
Are you sure it's not Welcome to Mamas, a sequel to the Octavia Spencer horror film?
It is Welcome to Mamas.
Okay.
Yeah. It is starring.
Brian Harold just informed me that Italy Palo Palo and the Veil just pulled their music off Spotify. So it's it's getting real out there.
It's getting that's very awesome. Real. Getting real. It's getting very real. Pennies. Pennies. All right. It's starring Melanie Scafano from Winona's Earp. Winona's Earp.
No, this isn't real. What's the name of the movie again? Mom's House? What is it called?
This is a Welcome to Mamas. It is Melanie Scafano. She is from Winona's Earp or Ready or Not.
Oh.
But what is Winona's Earp? Dude,
Melanie Scafano's a lot of fun in Ready or Not.
Okay, yeah. But what is Winona's Earp?
I don't know what Winona's Earp is. It's not Winona's Earp. It's just Winona Earp.
Yeah,
The Winona. Release is wrong.
Winona's
Earp. She played the lead, Winona Earp, in Winona Earp, not Winona's Earp. Dude, you're burying the lead. This movie has Lorraine Bracco in it.
I haven't gotten there yet.
That's the lead.
Yeah, but not according to this. Mm. Don't get mad at me. Okay. Daniel D. Tomaso from Ratchet and Dynasty, and Lorraine Bracco from Goodfellas and The Sopranos.
Man, Lorraine Bracco's great. Although the last time we saw her in one of these movies, she was not as great. It was a movie where it's an Italian family with Christina Milian. It's Snow Globe. Is that it?
Oh, don't you talk about Snow Globe.
It's terrible.
It is not terrible. Yeah. It's why we are where we are today.
Scafano's also in Letterkenny. And in Ready or Not and in Winona Earp. I mean, she's been doing some stuff.
But have you heard about Winona's Earp?
Like, dude, I will say this.
That Earp, of all the Earps,
up for grabs,
of all the Earps.
And Winona's like, no.
That's mine.
Dibs. Amy inherits a restaurant in Brooklyn after Mama.
I smell some Italian accents.
Quote unquote Mama. The owner and Amy's dear friend unexpectedly passes away. Wait, so did the owner and okay, I got it. Sorry, everybody. Amy, who is trained as a restaurant manager, teams up with a charming but slightly egotistical master chef named Frank, who is looking for a second chance. They hope to honor Mama by relaunching the restaurant for the community that loves it and her so much. Despite Amy and Frank's differences, both personally and professionally, they discover that most important ingredient for any recipe is always love. Guys, what are we thinking about? Welcome to Mama's. Welcome to Mama's. What's wrong with this? Restaurant. Sorry, Winona's herb got the best of
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
restaurant, new owners, love. What's not to love? Mama?
Hey, can I sell it to you this way? No wedding veil.
Okay, four.
Let me sell it to you this way.
Candy hearts, cream. Four and a cream.
Let me sell it to you this way. They're making their own version of the McGriddle.
Five candy hearts, all the cream.
Okay.
One candy heart and a cream.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Look out, it. Everybody.
It's no veil.
What no, is this?
No veil. No
what
veil.
Is this? Winona Earp? Five hearts and a cream for me.
But be honest, this movie doesn't actually sound exciting.
No, it does
sounds
not. Good to me. It does not sound exciting. I have it at three and
this sounds
three
good to me. When is it ever a bad idea for someone to take over a restaurant?
Yeah, it's never gone poorly for
name home. One movie that hasn't been good.
There go ahead.
Well, I don't think most of the restaurant movies a lot of times that Hallmark ends up doing are good.
They're bad.
I was thinking of the lunch. Australia one. Where she went
Cindy
to
Busby.
Yeah, something Cindy Busby. That, I didn't mind that movie, but it's just average. And then the other restaurant one, last one, was when they were in a Mexican restaurant. And
how about the one where Taylor Cole is combining with the Cuban dish? Or
oh, yeah.
That was a mess. And then You're Baking Sunset. Me Crazy wasn't very good. Stop. They're both supposed to be
don't
chefs.
Don't freaking bring up You're Baking Me Crazy if you're going to
slander.
There's
one with Nikki DeLoach that also is not good, where the other guy like has a food truck or something.
Well, what about Playing Cupid? That guy owns a restaurant.
Yeah, it wasn't good at all.
Yes, it was. It was in the
right
top.
Right in front of me? Is that the one with the... I don't know. They're bad. That's all I got.
You're Baking Me Crazy was...
Not Bacon a good movie.
Cinema's Bacon,
no,
gift
it was better than
to cinema.
It was
cinema's gift to cinema.
Yeah,
that's a great defense. I stand corrected.
Yeah, Bacon, Michael Rady, R.L. Stine, he was involved.
R.L. Stine was involved. Randy Lawrence Stine was involved.
Randy Lawrence Stine,
it's unbelievable.
Mm. Randy,
yeah.
How you doing, Randy?
I'm sorry, the other half of my voice isn't with me tonight.
Yeah, Randy, you there? There you are. I just caught wind, Randy, that Disney Plus just ordered a Goosebumps revival. Can you give us any more details about that?
Yeah, they did. It's going to be super awesome. It's going to be called Stein.
I'm sorry, Stein. Say it again.
Stun.
Is that stun?
No.
What is it?
Stein. Yes.
Why?
Well, like you know.
I do know. You're exactly right. We did it, everybody. Congratulations.
Hey, another weird one in the book.
If you think that... I think this week can't get any better. Tomorrow,
mailbag.
We'll be back with a mailbag episode. Mailbag episode with letters that are...
Dare we do a Loveuary preview in a mailbag from Christmas back to back? Is it sweeps? What are we doing?
This is where we get most of our fans, I would say. I'm feeling good about this option.
I love your weekly commitment to closing your tabs out while recording the show.
He's just obsessed.
While recording the show.
Yeah, well, I have a little reminder that pops up during Deck the Hallmark that says, clean the tabs.
It just says, do anything else aside from the podcast. The tabs. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with a freaking awesome episode. Until then. And we'll be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas.
You got it.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, yeah, that Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.